How cool is that? Yeah, we communicate really closely through the week, and actually not true in any way. And we were just saying a few minutes ago, well, we didn't get the title of the sermon in, you know, we didn't get the passage, and I'm like, oh yeah. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, and you already, it's actually pretty funny. Prayer's kind of touchy to talk about, because then you start, well, am I praying right? Am I using the right words? Am I, you know, the these and the thous that you were, you know, mentioning earlier. When I was a kid, you know, if you preached in these and thous, your prayers evidently got hurt better, or I don't know how that worked. There was a transition period from the these and thous into just regular, you know, non-Elizabethan English parlance that we use today, right? And I don't know how that happened, if something happened in at the Vatican, or, you know, to make that okay. We don't go by the Vatican. That was just a joke, and I'm sorry I brought it up. So, last week, I was a couple extraneous comments about prayer. Last week, I had a friend of mine came up. I was walking out of my office at work, and he introduced me to this guy, very nice guy, Jim, and he said, this guy's he's a prayer warrior. And I'm like, oh, cool. I grew up with that concept of people who are really devoted to prayer, and they usually didn't call themselves prayer warriors, but they, you know, they were. That's what they did, and there was a ministry. And he said, yeah, we're getting, you know, group together, and we're going to get the governor involved, and, you know, Rahner, we're going to get Rahner involved. And I was thinking, yeah, the guy who, I like Rahner, but he can't get a budget together, but he's going to get my prayers, you know, help get my prayers answered. And I think sometimes we get kind of off kilter a little bit with what's really important in prayer. You know, is it getting the right powerful people involved, or what is it? I was at a conference last week when it was winter here, and now it's already been summer, and I'm so confused. But I, at conferences, this was a conference around chaplaincy, and so there were all these workshops, you know how conferences are. And one of the workshops was called Self-Compassion and Moral Injury Workshop. And I thought, well, I'm trying to do some things at the hospital with support for our associates, for nurses, and, you know, everybody who's involved with the healthcare ministry at the hospital. So I thought, well, this might be helpful. So I go there, room's packed, and what I didn't look in the small print, because I just kind of looked at the title and went with that, it was all about Zen. It's all about Zen Buddhist prayer. And research that had been done on it, which evidently is a very researchable thing, and changes your heartbeat and stuff, and then that is connected to the shin bone, you know, and that, you know, how research is. They connect things that somehow you're like, oh, yeah. So that's good, right? And so I was sitting there and just feeling disconnected with that. And Zen, you know, Zen, you just, the goal of Zen is nothingness. That's not our goal, friends. That's the goal, is to be with the Lord, to get to know the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to get to know Him better, not to just be empty. And I just thought how sad this is. We're sitting in this group of 50 chaplains from all over the country, and they're from all different religions, and into this method of disconnecting from God. It's sad. There's a seminary professor, and I don't know, somebody else was talking about this gentleman, but he asked some of his classes this question. It's a great question. If God answered all your prayers with yes, how would the kingdom be furthered? God answered all your questions, all your prayers with yes, how would the kingdom be furthered? It really makes you kind of stop and think, doesn't it, about all the things you pray for. Not that they're bad things. You know, none of the things we prayed for today were bad things. None of us prayed to just get rich for the sake of having more money. I mean, we don't pray those kind of prayers. But again, how do they further the kingdom? What true good would come out of it if all of our prayers were answered yes? And what we're going to talk about today a little bit is having kingdom prayers. And again, not that things that we pray for aren't, but just to focus on that, how to further God's kingdom in your prayers. And before we do that, we kind of need to know what prayer is. Just better understand it. Prayer is communication, very basic. The deeper the communication we have with God, the more intimate we are with God. The more intimate we are with God, the deeper our communication is. Corollaries are true there. One of the things I noticed was, actually, I noticed it after somebody else noticed it, and I stole it from him. Just to tell you, just a full disclosure there, transparency, I guess. But here's the progression of communication. We start with small talk, and we all do small talk probably pretty good. And you can do that with anybody. You're standing in line at the theater, and you get in a conversation with somebody, you know, and it's like, do you like Bruce Willis? Yeah, didn't he used to be married to Demi Moore? You know, it's that kind of, that level of conversation where it's just kind of nothing. And we spend a lot of time in the nothing place, like the show about nothing, the Seinfeld show was about nothing, and it went on for how many years, 10 years or something? Show about nothing. And how many people talked about Seinfeld and still do? Show about nothing? Oh, well. Okay, so the second phase of communication is sharing what we know. So just things we know. Like, Bryant won the MVP. Whoa, cool. I didn't know that. Really? You didn't know that? I thought everybody knew that. You know, that's just sharing stuff you know. It doesn't risk anything. It's just, oh, you didn't know that? Well, now you do. You know, that kind of thing. It's just... And then the third is sharing your opinion, how you feel about that thing. And you start sharing opinions about what you think. That's a third step. Little bit more information. Dan, I'm going to keep you awake today. In fact, I'm going to ask you a question later, so try to be awake then. Yeah, okay. Just... be prepared. And the fourth is sharing your feelings. So, and your feelings about you, you know, your feelings, not about Demi Moore, but sharing your feelings. And most people reach that level of intimacy really with just a few people. I used to ask a question when I did some groups at the hospital, you know, how many friends do you have? And then I would give a kind of a loose definition of what a friend is, and people would, you know, if you were lucky, you'd have two or three. And some people had a few, which was pretty cool. But there's not a lot of people you share your most intimate knowledge with. is. And then the final is transparency. And that's sharing who you are. That's what's going on inside, what's going on inside you when you share it with somebody else. That's transparency. And it's that 4 and 5 place, that's where you want to be in your prayer life. Not in corporate prayer necessarily, but in your prayer life with the Lord, as you walk with the Lord. And prayer is a conversation. This is a great song. You know, it was crazy, and they're jumping up and down, and the guy, what, the homeless-looking guy, you know, he did. It was really a great message because it didn't minimize prayer, but it made it just natural. You know, you can have a little talk with somebody on a highly intimate level. If somebody knows you really well, you don't have to say a lot. You know them. They know you. You don't have to go on and on and on and on. A lot of times words just get in the way. So prayer is a conversation with God, and it's totally based on our personal relationship with Him. That's why evangelicals talk so much about a personal relationship with Christ. It's not just, like I said a few weeks ago, just processing paperwork. It's having an ongoing conversation with God. A lot of people think that prayer has to be thinking spiritual thoughts. I'm going to find these deep spiritual thoughts and I'm going to think about that. It's not a bad thing to like pray scripture, that kind of thing. It's not a bad thing to do. It's a fine thing to do. But God wants to know you. God wants to know you. God wants a relationship with you. That's an amazing thought when you think about it. And you don't need to change yourself to pray. You know, we do at the hospital on Fridays at 1:30 is Muslim prayer time. And they have certain rituals and one is washing your hands and your feet. You got to wash your hands and your feet before you pray. And so we have to kind of think about how far away is the nearest place they can do that from the chapel. And you don't have to do that. You know, what if like you had a checklist? Like on my checklist this morning, I failed to check off the bring your sermon. So that's why it's here. And the written version, the big version that's easier to follow, is next to my bed at home. So I don't have a checklist. We don't have a checklist now. Did everybody shower before they came? We don't have that. You don't have to do that with the Lord. Worship is a matter of the heart. And we come together to do that together sometimes, and it's like once a week here, which is very cool. I mean, God would let us do it every day. And that's what heaven's going to be like, by the way. It's going to be continuous worship for eternity. That's amazing. But you don't have to change. You don't have to clean up to pray. God wants to talk to you. Just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. And then we try to, you know, sometimes control what we tell Jesus, like he doesn't know, right? Well, can't talk about that because I didn't do it. It's like something that shows up in the agenda of your meeting, and then you kind of try to skip it because you didn't do anything. Yeah, it's on the agenda, Wendell. Everybody's got the agenda. Wendell, you skipped that. I didn't do anything about it. Yeah, right. It's right out there. Lots of comments about prayer. Well, consider this. If you're a Christian, God is your life. God's everything. All that you do in every moment of every day, God is by your side. Really? I mean, that can be a liberating thing, or that can be, oh no. Prayer isn't a chore that you have to keep up with, you know? It's not a chore. It's like, I gotta do it this time, gotta do it this time. If I don't do it that time, then I gotta reschedule the appointment. Then do I have to pay for it anyway? And do I, it's not that. Prayer is, you just do it. And it's good to have a regular time you pray, because you can get so involved with your life and all the craziness that goes on in your life that you kind of forget. And that's too bad. That's unfortunate. But that doesn't mean God loves you less. It doesn't mean you have to do penance before you go back. It just means that you missed something really good. And you missed it. You carried the burden when it could have been shared. Think about that. I carried a burden. I carried that weight on my back. And I could have given it to the Lord. But I chose to carry it instead because I was ashamed about something He already knew about. You know, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, that's what the enemy does to us. He burdens us with things, and he puts these little thoughts in our mind about, well, no, you can't. No, God's not going to like you anymore. Well, God loves us, period. Prayer is the very core of our Christian lives. It's the very core of our Christian lives. And the sad thing, you know, when I'm sitting in that workshop, and they're talking about getting everything, you know, prayer being something that eliminates everything. I'm just thinking how incredibly sad that is. Prayer isn't eliminating, it's connecting with the author of truth, the creator of the universe, the only true source of joy and hope and love. Okay, Colossians 4, where we finally made. Is he ever going to have like a scripture? Yeah, right. That's not how you preach a sermon. Who is that? There's a comedian who has this, Jim Gaffigan. That's what he does, right? Why isn't he using scripture? it's such a perfect, useful way to do comedy. Because, you know, it's just going on constantly. And it's one of the reasons he's so popular. Colossians 4:2. And prayer, by the way, is just all over scripture. It's in, read this morning, it's in 61 out of the 66 books of the Bible. And the other five, I don't know. And if you see me after the service, I still won't. But if that's really important, I'll remember and look it up. But Jesus prays constantly. He's always sneaking off to pray. And I think I talk about that later in my sermon, but he prays all the time. And so it seems like it's important, doesn't it? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, this is Paul writing, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So devote yourselves to prayer. And here's what I want you to pray about. That the kingdom is furthered. That the gospel goes out. That I'm clear in what I say. So devote ourselves to prayer. Again, prayer should be a key pillar in our lives, a regular part of our everyday life. We struggle in our culture to find time to pray, and you think of all the time you have to do other things. I think about how much time I spend watching the Cubs. Let's just get it out there. No, I never pray for the Cubs. I don't. I really don't. I just don't. I pray that people will make good decisions. But I pray that for my kids. I don't pray outcomes. I almost never pray outcomes. They're on my wish list. You know, we have these wish lists. But I just don't pray outcomes. I pray that Ben will get a job. And by the way, April 1st, he has like a job with 20 to 40 hours a week. Yeah, so that's very cool. Yeah, that's very cool. I hope that gives him more faith. You know, I hope that he'll walk with the Lord more. I mean, yeah, having your needs met is really important. There's no question about that. But if you're not walking with the Lord, it's like, well, all right, it's kind of small talk. For Paul, the whole of Christian ministry was grounded and developed in prayer. It's all about prayer. It was all about doing God's will. It was all about being in a place where he knew he was doing what God wanted him to be doing. And that's why he said, you know, devote yourself to prayer. His conversion, his commission, his baptism, his missionary work was all based, all rooted in prayer. He lived his life moment by moment under the authority of God. He did what God said, spoke what God told him to do, went where God said go. He lived being led by God from one moment to the next. And he went to a place or didn't go a place based on a vision sent by God. His conversion. He was killing Christians. That was his ministry. What a great ministry, right? You know, what's your ministry? Well, I'm following God by killing Christians. And that changed. And his prayer life took on, I just wonder what his early prayer life was like while God was sorting this out with him. Going from one life to a whole different life. And we've all been there. Not to the magnitude of a Paul, but we've all gone through that. Gone from one life to a life walking with the Lord. Colossians 4:3, Paul not only invested himself in prayer, but he asked others to do the same. Pray for us. Devote yourselves. Could have said, devote yourselves to me. Could have said that. But he took himself out of the equation. Devote yourselves to prayer. And pray for the furtherance of the gospel. He happened to be the one doing it. But he said, devote yourselves to the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the kingdom. And everything he does is all about furthering the kingdom. He asks for prayer that they, Paul and those who he was with, that they may speak boldly, that the word would be received, that the word would spread rapidly. It says, pray that I may declare the word fearlessly, that God might be honored and the people would receive the message they gave. Now that's not all in Colossians, but that's in other passages where Paul talks about praying for him and his ministry. And he's always encouraging these kingdom-focused prayers. Occasionally, you'll see Paul asking for prayer for things, but there are always things that, like, keep him alive or give him more freedom so he can preach the gospel. So they're always eventually for the furtherance of the gospel. He doesn't preach, "It'd really be great if I had a horse." You know, you don't see that. You don't see those convenience kinds of prayers. You see things that would basically help him preach the gospel better or open people's eyes to the word. You know, those kinds of things. And then Jesus, of course, was always in a state of prayer. He often would just kind of slip away. The disciples would be busy cleaning up the food, you know, the 12 baskets left over, whatever. And then Jesus would be kind of secreting off to pray. And he prayed all the time. And he would pray, you know, as he was doing a miracle, he would pray. He would go off and pray all night. He prayed. He prayed all night before the day that he walked on the water, which I endorse that. If you're planning on walking on the water, I would totally surround that with prayer. But he would seek solitude. He would try to, you know, secret himself away to have time alone with his Father. And Dan, here's your question. Have you ever done something, you don't have to say what it was, and I could just answer it myself, but it's a lot more fun, Dan, putting you on the spot. Have you ever thought this thought, "My dad's going to kill me"? Now, it didn't happen because you're sitting here, so that's good. But... or words to that effect. It doesn't have to be exactly that, like you were in trouble, like I'm going to be in trouble for this. Have you ever thought that? Whew. I am so glad, because it'll help the sermon. I had that thought so many times growing up, but that wouldn't be any fun to say. But you knew that because you know your dad. You know what's important to your dad. You know what his values are. You know what, you know, what's around the house that he really doesn't want broken. You know, you know that stuff. And it's not just because it's random. It's like, man, I'm always in trouble, so I suppose I'm in trouble now. I mean, that's a legitimate thought a lot of people have, because they're always in trouble, and they're probably in trouble now, and they don't even know it because they don't even bother to right the ship. They just keep bumbling along, and right? But you know your dad. You know what he stands for. Well, that's our relationship with the Lord. Because our Lord is a lot like Dave. No, that's not my point. You know, the point is, we know our Father. How do we know the Father? Because we have His word. You have it in your cell phones. You have Bibles all over the place. And you just have to go look. That's who he is. And then you talk to him. And you get a sense of things going on in your life. You're a little uneasy about it, because the Holy Spirit's kind of, you know, sticking a pin in you a little bit about something. And you're like, "I'm not so sure what the will of God is for this." Yeah, you are. Yeah, well, go to the Word and talk to the Lord. And you'll know. Well, Lois says that a lot of times about her kids. She'll pray that they'll know the Lord's will in something. But But it's really hard to know the Lord's will in something if you don't know the Lord. If you haven't had time, if you spend time hiding from the Lord, you're not going to know His will. Thanks, Dan. And you're looking great, by the way. I just might add. Not that we didn't love you before, but you're looking like you're interviewing, you know? It's cool. You know, as we know Scripture, we know what's important to God. And that's why you memorize Scripture. You know, thy word have I hid in my heart, and I'm going back to the King James, but thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And it's not I might not break a rule, it's that won't get in the way of our relationship. That's what that's about. Jesus took care of the sin. We're going to sin. We do it all the time. Not that we, you know, there's the volitional and the non-volitional and the this kind and that kind and this. We do it. It's part of who we are as in a fallen world. But it doesn't have to get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. You know, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's that cleansing that doesn't have to, you don't take a shower before you come to church. You're cleansed. When I was a little kid, my dad would always say this thing after we'd have our Saturday night bath. He would say, "You're cleansed within and without." He would say that all the time. If you ask my brothers, they'd say, "Yeah, I used to say that." Yeah, you're cleansed within and without. But we're clean according to what Christ did on the cross. We don't have to keep taking care of that all the time. We confess our sins so we can have a good relationship with the Lord. So Satan can't play that game with us. I saw what you did. You think God's going to love you anymore? What do you think? Doesn't he play that game like constantly? And it keeps getting in the way of what God wants to be doing with us in a relationship with him, how he wants to be using us, how he wants to be saying, "Hey, get out there. I got this really cool thing I want you to do, and you're the person for it. Here's the plan, and you're the guy. Go. And I'm right there with you." And who was it who said, "And I'll give you the words to speak"? Old Testament, where was it? I don't know. Yeah, because Aaron and Moses was like, Moses and we'll have Aaron talk for you, you know. And then give him the words to speak. I mean, that's pretty cool. But when you have the devil messing around and say, no, you can't talk. Remember the other day when you couldn't think of that word? Well, that's going to happen as soon as you get up in front of those people. You're not going to be able to think of anything. That's going to happen. My gosh. And what does Jesus say? He teaches us how to pray. Pretty simple. And the disciples are asking him, you know, what do we do? And we're like, if you're going to pray, you know, don't pray like the Pharisees. They get up and they make a big deal out of it. And they pray out on the street corner. And he said, no, when you pray, just pray, "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Here it is, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And then we need to eat. give us this day our daily bread. Just, give us what we need to go on, and forgive us when we mess up. And we'll forgive other people too. And help me not keep falling into the same temptation over and over. And I know you'll deliver us from evil. You know, for thine is the kingdom. That was tacked on to Jesus' words just to finish off the thing. But it sounds kind of simple, doesn't it? There's not a lot there in when you look at how Jesus said to pray. There's not a lot of prayer request time. Very little. And when I pray, that's a big chunk. And when we have prayer services, big chunk. And morning prayer, big chunk. And that's not saying any of those things are bad. They're not bad. Almost all of them you could say, well, this is how that would further the kingdom. This is how that would further the kingdom. And, so it's not a bad thing. But it's not how Jesus really taught us how to pray. And maybe you would say, and you'd say, well, but he's talking about people praying by themselves. And that's fair enough. And we're doing a corporate prayer, and there's a lot of individuals coming together. And so, yeah, you do prayer requests. It's fine. But when you're praying by yourself, how much of your time in prayer is to make your relationship with the Lord closer? And how much of it is your wish list? And again, not to say your wish list isn't furthering the kingdom, but think about that. It's really an important concept as you look at how you can develop your relationship with the Lord. Because think about that sometimes. I think about that sometimes. Well, what can I do now? I learned a bunch of scripture passages. And I know where this is, and I know where that is, and I know what this means. And I even know the Greek word for that. And, you can get into all the stuff you know without having a relationship. And God really wants to know you. He really wants you to know him. Because he knows you better than you're ever going to know yourself. And to think you can tap into that and the joy that you're missing in your life can be full because you're cleansed, because you have a connection with a person who knows all the details of that and forgives you for all of it, or can give you insight into how to forgive others. Just like he taught us how to pray. I mean, think of that, and I'm just kind of talking to myself here, and you happen to be listening. Oh, there's people here? Because I need to keep reminding myself of this constantly, because there's so many things that get in the way. Thing is, remember when MapQuest first came out? And you'd click in the MapQuest, you'd put in your address, and then it'd show you how to get there. And it was a way you'd never go, right? It was like, well, then you go right, and then, it was like every little street, and you're like, this is kind of useless, but it's cool, because it's on the internet. And now, when you take MapQuest, if it's in your car, or whatever, however you have that set up in your car, and you'll go a certain way, and then it'll give you from there what's the best way, and then you'll from there the best way, and from there the best way. And so when you're walking with the Lord isn't like MapQuest. Like, here's my will, and it's a real funny way to get there, which actually is true, but it's, he doesn't map it out like that. He's your guide. Well, you went this far, now here's the way. You went this far, now here's the way. Here's the way. Here's the way. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes in some cars, you'll have a voice that talks to you and tells you, don't take this exit. I wasn't going to take that exit. Don't take this exit. I never take that exit. We shut ours off. Remember the first time, Lois, we had that in my car? You're supposed to say yes, but it's right here in the the first time I used it, we're driving to Rockford, a trip we've taken 100 times, and I have the new car, you know, with this really cool feature. So we're driving, we get off onto 294, and the first exit, it says, don't take this exit. Oh, really? Thank you, Edna, or whatever your name is. And then the next exit, don't take this exit. All the way to Rockford, I didn't know how to turn the thing off. Oh, man. But God isn't like that. God's our guide. God's our guide. But how can God be our guide when we know him? And he gives us a way to know him through his word and through an intimate level of prayer with him. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can know you, and we can know you and have a life that is abundant, that's abundant and free, if we seek your kingdom first. And help us, Lord, as we go our way this week and throughout the coming days and weeks and months and years, that we continue to seek your kingdom first in our prayer life, in our lives, as you direct us. And we know, Lord, that you do give us an abundant life, a life that is so rich, so free, so enjoyable, as we know that we walk with your love day by day and in your will. In Jesus' name, amen.